to Fear the Fro.
Shot clock by Mobley. Holy Mobley. Donovan Mitchell is 8 for 8 from downtown.
Darius Garland hit it from Euclid. Lobbed Allen. Pow. Oh, that was gorgeous.
A Cleveland Cavalier podcast.
What do we need to add? What do we need to give the coach?
The game has come down to space and opportunity.
We address that.
Hosted by the voice of Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, his name is Bob Schmidt.
Bob Schmidt.
Spectacular talent.
That guy is a legend.
Got it, the buzzer!
Welcome, Cavalier fans. It's Bob Schmidt. The playoffs are here. The Fear the Fro podcast is back with the playoffs now set. The Orlando Magic on the horizon. But you may have noticed a bit longer of a break between the last podcast and this one. Now, there's a perfectly good explanation for this. I was disgusted by the way the late season was playing out and having vacation to burn, being that I had topped out and I was no longer accruing hours. I said to myself, you need to cleanse yourself of the stink of the late part of this season. So, with a baby on the way, I thought if ever there's a time I can abandon my wife, it is pre-childbirth, so I should do this because this may be my last hurrah, my last chance to get away from my computer, try to dispel some of the rage that is piled up during this very uneven post-All-Star break Cavalier session, and so I did that. I wandered off into the woods, and I was out there for 4 days of the 7 days I originally intended, and somewhere around day four, I decided, you know what, I'm over this.
Fuck this shit.
I thought it was going to be this, you know, centering chance to remember what's important in life and through struggle, learn that, you know what, don't take what you have for granted, et cetera, et cetera. Instead, all I could think about was, I have a bidet now. I can't be shitting in the woods anymore. I am a man of distinction. But secondly, that's about as good as I can do. That's supposed to be a wolf. I'm doing this on the fly, okay? This is a really long one, too. No more of that. Let's keep it moving. I couldn't get this thought out of the back of my mind as I just walked mindlessly. I told myself I wanted to get away from technology, and all I could think about was, you piece of shit. You do a Cavalier podcast, and you're going to walk away at the end of the season when all the important stuff is sorted out? Just because you got your feelings hurt when they collapsed in disgusting fashion against the Clippers? That's going to be the man that you want to be? You're a fucking role model. Is that the message you want to send your future fro baby when the going gets tough? First, you abandon your wife and go into the wilderness where anything could happen. You could be raped by a bear and leave your child fatherless. And then, in the middle of that abandonment, you quit it anyway because you're a total coward. Because I didn't stop at one horrible life lesson to teach future baby daughter. I went with two. If things don't go your way, take your ball and go home. In this case, home being the wilderness, and then later on, quit that too, because you have no conviction or discipline whatsoever. I'm a role model. But there was, underneath it all, there was this. I can separate myself from civilization all I want, but at the end of the day, if it really was possible to have a healthier perspective on sports and life, it's not going to come through backpacking. Maybe the child will do it. I guess, fingers crossed, guys. But still, it took all of 20 minutes until I got back to where there was a phone signal for me to realize how absolutely hopeless my plight is. When I emerged from the woods and logged onto Twitter for the first time, only to find myself tagged in a bunch of messages revealing to me that Tim Bontemps compared Evan Mobley to Derek Favors, I felt pure, unadulterated rage.
The jury is out, I think, quite clearly on whether Evan Mobley is going to become that kind of player. Or if he's going to become somebody more like Derek Favors.
Wow.
Well, Derek Favors was a very good player who was a non-shooting four, which is the least valuable archetype of player in the league.
I'm not going to belabor this, but I will say this. Every fucking appearance, he says the same thing.
Non-shooting four, which is the least valuable archetype of player in the league.
That's not Evan Mobley's archetype. Evan Mobley is not an archetype that begins with offense. If someone asks you Evan Mobley's archetype and it doesn't contain defense in the first few words, then you're fucking doing it wrong. Evan's archetype in year three is already perennial first team all-NBA defense talent who's good enough offensively to not be a liability on either end. Keep this in mind. Derek Favors Evan Mobley has already shot 252 three-point attempts in 2.5 seasons. Derek Favors played for 12 seasons and took 192. They're not parallels. The only reason you could even bring him up is because they were both drafted third. It's a dog shit comp. What's Shaq's archetype? A non-three-point shooting big? What's Kobe's archetype? An accused rapist? Do you just pick the most dismissive way to frame a player and then ignore the most positive attributes? And the only person who would present Evan that way is somebody who wants to present the person in the worst possible fashion. And I'm sorry, Bill Simmons, it was short-lived, but you're immediately cast out because for the second straight time...
And now quite publicly, I declare you an enemy.
You just became an enemy of the pod.
Oh, no.
Welcome to your second go-round, Tim. But first, he ruined my return from the wilderness, and now he's derailing a podcast, which should be about the Cavs and the Magic. Let's get back to it. I will say, I'm not proud of myself. I tried to structure this pod to lead with the stuff that's exciting. The playoffs, it's finally here. There's a lot of positives. And here I am, a flawed man who will attack a journalist because he has a view that I don't like. No Cavalier-related trail of tears through the wilderness is going to make me a redeemable human being. So yeah, that was all a long way to say that I can't quit you, Cavs. I wanted to see the end of the season. You miss all of the, you know, the panicking, the doomers, the outrage, the high and mighty national podcasts talking about how we deserve to be on NBA TV and how teams should be able to pick their seed to avoid cowards like us manufacturing outcomes, and we can't reward that type of behavior, et cetera, which again, I don't even necessarily disagree with all of it. But I will say this, cowardice sometimes works out. It's basically the entire plot line of the Final Destination franchise. And what did they make? 5-7 movies, something like that. If that dude hadn't freaked out,
the cabin starts to shake, right? And the left side blows up and then the whole plane just explodes.
He would have blew up right then. Instead, he spent the rest of the franchise basically trying to avoid death movie after movie. And sure, that's not a great way to live either. But my point is this, is it really that different from the Cavaliers? What we did today was the equivalent of getting off of that airplane. The exploding airplane was Philadelphia or Miami running us in the first round. And we said, not today, death. And in doing so, we prolonged our life for a little while longer. We will probably be decapitated by a flying piece of metal when we face the Boston Celtics. But today is not that day. So there's a reason to be upset. I'm not going to invalidate anyone's feelings. It was a cowardly way to approach this day. But many things can be true at once. And I said this on Twitter. All of the following are true. Our best chance of winning in the first round was the 4-5, because that was the hardest path for Philadelphia or Miami to climb to. It would have took a perfect confluence of events. So staying in that essentially assured we would avoid that. I also don't have to agree with that tactic. I do believe, had we actually fought to get to the 2 or 3 seed, had we tried to win and landed in the 3 seed today, I think there's a good chance that whoever's the 3 seed may end up with home court advantage in the second round, because Philadelphia or Miami, whoever it is, could knock off the 2 seed, which in this case is the Knicks. It's entirely plausible to think all of these matchups that have played out, say what you will about how it arrived there, but these are great matchups. If Philadelphia takes on the Knicks, if Miami takes on the Knicks, those are good matchups. And whoever has to face the Celtics, equally as good. The Bucks and the Pacers, that was an incredible rivalry this season. And now we get a chance to play a team that's about as close to the Knicks archetype that manhandled us last postseason as possible, outside of playing the Knicks themselves. Orlando is built very similarly in the sense that they're a defense-first team. They're very physical. They have very solid players off the bench. And while they may not have a Jalen Brunson, they do have a Paolo Banchero. They have a Franz Wagner. They have a Jalen Suggs. This is a deep team. It's a very good point of attack defensive team. It's a physical team. They have veteran leadership off the bench. They get very good play from a lot of places. So it's still going to be a test. I'm not saying any of this to minimize the Orlando Magic. But what I am saying is that I can both acknowledge that, yes, there is some cowardly logic in what the Cavaliers did But it only holds up as logical if you enter the second round on the assumption that we're probably going to lose anyway. Now, if we're being honest with ourselves, I think most of us agree that that is probably the likely outcome. But the thing about sports is nobody accepts that. Nobody, they want to hear empty platitudes. We believe we can compete for a title, even when we all know that we can't. Not this season, anyway. And the shitty part for JB is, he's in a position where if he could just say, listen, we wanted to be able to get a first-round victory to show these guys what it feels like to win in the playoffs, but we have no false illusions that we're going to advance much further than that. If he could say that, as much as he would get destroyed in the media, deep down, we would all be like, well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the truth. He can't say that, though. And so instead, in the post-game press conference, when people question him on, well, did they ever think about deviating from playing the backups when they realized they had a chance at the two seed, you get answers like this.
We told the guys beforehand we wanted everybody to get an opportunity to play. You know, these guys have worked extremely hard all year long and are deserving of some minutes and an opportunity to play. It was great to see Pete Nance get his first NBA points. So that's what this experience was about, just to make sure that all the guys who've worked so hard got an opportunity to play tonight.
Look, man, I love Pete Nance as much as the next guy. I'm a Nance enthusiast. I'm not going to get righteous on this. I wanted Orlando and Indy as much as everybody else did, but I am free to say I don't think we have any chance of beating the Boston Celtics. JB can't, and that's what makes this fucking brutal for him. And this dude doubled down when people asked him, well, you know, when you saw the Bulls were beating the Knicks, did you think about deviating? And we got this doozy.
You know, once we sat our guys at the end of the third quarter, you know, and they had the mindset that they weren't going to go back in, I didn't want to take any risks in putting them back in the game when they had already cooled down and then something else happened. So, you know, again, you're always aware of it. You're taking a peek at it. But I thought the safety of our guys was the most important thing. And when they were shut off, I didn't want to have to go ramp them back up to put them in late in the fourth quarter where something worse could happen to them. So that's what we stuck with.
I always love when humans get talked about like they're machines, you know, turned on, turned off, and we ramped them down. We couldn't fire them back up. And my sputter. He can't admit to what we all know. Do you remember what happened to the Dallas Mavericks when they essentially threw the end of the season last year to avoid even getting into the play-in? They prioritized keeping their draft pick over a chance to compete in the playoffs, and the league fined them $750,000. I mean, there are some parallels. They picked something that they thought would be more beneficial to their future, the draft pick. We did the same thing. We think that it's meaningful as far as progressing this team for them to get a taste of what victory in the playoffs is like. So we tried to get an opponent that we think in the Orlando Magic our Cavalier team can beat. However, it's pretty bad what we did. I would say the Mavericks is worse because they had to lose multiple games to manufacture that outcome. We just had to throw this one, but it's not a good look. And the thing is, we've not given our all before, but the context was totally different. It was, we have LeBron James, doesn't seem to really believe it matters where he's sitting because he'll take on anyone. And so fuck it. If I don't try my hardest in a regular season game, it's not out of some quote unquote disrespect to the sport. This is so negatively looked upon that we are pariahs now. Yes, Bontemps has always hated us, but it didn't feel like everybody has. I think even the most pro-Cavalier opinionists out there are going to crucify us for this, rightfully so. And again, I don't necessarily care, because fuck them. I only care about the Cavs winning. But there are a lot more people today hoping that the Cavs get humiliated than there were yesterday. But imagine this scenario. Imagine a scenario where the Sixers or the Heat end up as the 8th seed and they shock the world and they beat the Celtics. Well, then it would be totally different. We would have got an easier first-round matchup, and yes, we still would have had to face the Heat or the Sixers, but I think we can all agree they're more slayable than the Boston Celtics should be. The thing is, though, JB is already on the hot seat. And what I can't help but wonder is, was this a push down from the front office, or was it a push upwards from JB that they conceded to? The front office, it's a win-win for them. They already have a scapegoat because the public face of explaining this was JB in the postgame today. Now, this is a bit of a, you know, dark web conspiracy theory type take, but I'll try to explain this concisely. I think prior to today, I still held some doubt that the front office was not at the place that the fan base seems to be with JB, which I think can aptly be summarized as we're ready to move on. But I wasn't sure, and I never truly can be, until I hear the front office verbalize something that confirms they're willing to reset the clock on continuity and culture and progression, especially knowing how tenuous our situation with Donovan is. I mean, changes aren't solely about coaches. Everything has to be considered. Well, I can't help but notice that by taking the path that the Cavaliers took today, it kind of serves two purposes for the front office. It will likely get them more playoff games, more playoff revenue, but also, if we get thoroughly dismantled in the second round, the front office has the perfect way to deflect attention away from them simply by firing JB. Because the basketball integrity-loving world will be so happy that somebody was made to pay for this blasphemy against the sport that they'll dance on JB's grave and they'll overlook that the front office is almost certainly complicit in this plan today. Now, if I was JB, I would have fought like hell not to allow this to happen. Because I think if he has a shred of self-awareness, he realizes there's at least a 50-50 chance he's on the job market this summer. This maneuver can't possibly help his future head coaching prospects, I would think. This feels more like a desperate maneuver to try to curry favor with the front office by being able to say, well, hey, I got you an extra round out of this. This maneuver, it will trump the shame of last season. It will be in a league of its own. It will be at the top of his resume. It will be affixed to his legacy, a dirty stain.
A dirty stain.
I think JB put himself in an impossible position where nobody is going to celebrate him should he secure a first-round victory. And if he gets destroyed in the second round, not only are Cavs fans going to call for his head, but a bunch of people from the outside basketball world are going to be lining up to dance on his grave and call for his firing.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
I feel like JB is taking a really calculated risk here, because if this blows up spectacularly, I think he goes from probably being able to slide in somewhere else because people still see him as a culture changer to not getting another head coaching job. Just consider this in regards to, you know, willingly putting yourself in Boston's way. The amount of space between the 1 and 2 seed is the same amount of games between the New York Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks. That is how head and shoulders above everybody else the Boston Celtics are. There's a lot of prognosticators, the same ones I loathe, who don't think that the Celtics will lose more than a couple of games throughout the entire Eastern Conference Finals run. Bill Simmons even said they could go 12-0. Heard that story on a pod. So the general consensus is that Boston is a team that will only defeat itself. If you look at the odds of who wins the Eastern Conference right now, the Celtics are a minus 175. The next closest team is the Bucks, who are roughly a plus 600, depending on the sports book. Then it goes the Sixers, the Knicks, and a tie between the Cavaliers and the Heat. So Vegas doesn't believe in us. It seems questionable that we really believe in ourselves. And here we are. But goddammit, I'm doing it again. That's back-to-back negatives. I went bond temps into our tanking maneuver. Although I do think the tanking maneuver needed to be discussed and fleshed out, because as this week progresses, we got a long time before our first game, and I've got a lot of stuff lined up this week. The guys from the Sixth Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, they're going to join me. We're going to do a home and away situation. I'll be on their pod. They'll be on my pod. I also, this is a positive thing, right? Giving away money, that's always positive. I told you, sometimes cowardice pays, and it happens to go hand in hand with the Fear the Fro podcast giveaway. At the end of the regular season, I would take all the people who submitted on CavsPod.com to win some cash, and I would draw a name, and I did it. The winner is Jamie G. I'm not going to say your last name, but if you entered and your name is Jamie and your last name begins with a G, you provided me with your Venmo and PayPal handles, I will send you a cash prize of $300. It's not a lot, But that's exactly how much money I got back when I returned my Garmin inReach satellite messenger. Because I aborted my hiking trip, I was able to return it in the 7-day window for a full refund. And so my cowardice turns into a direct payout for you, Jamie G, as a thank you for supporting the Fear the Fro podcast. Now, let's speak a little bit about the specifics of this magic series. These are just my initial thoughts. Coming into today, I think the common consensus was Orlando or Indy. They were the optimal team. And I put up a little poll at Fear the Fro Pod on Twitter. How do you actually feel? 38% said they wanted Indy. 48% said they didn't care either way. And only 14% wanted Orlando. So I guess people did feel more confident with our chances against Indy than Orlando. I think some of that was swayed by the fact that we won these last two games. And I don't think Tyrese Haliburton has been as good as he's capable of against us this season. He had two pretty poor shooting performances against the Cavs. And I think he's a much better player than what he showed against the Cavs. But be that as it may, I don't necessarily disagree. I just think with Orlando, here's what I like. Very similar archetype to the Knicks. I alluded to that earlier in the podcast. But what I'm more confident in is the deviation of performances we'll see from a Paolo or a Franz versus that of Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson is, you pretty much know he's going to play impactful, meaningful, positive ball, whether his stats indicate it or not. He just has a presence about him that, yeah, most of the time he shows up statistically too, but even on off-shooting nights, he seems to impose his will in a way that gives his team the best possible chance to succeed. I don't know what we're going to see in terms of can Paolo have that same impact on nights where his shot isn't falling. This season, he had multiple bad shooting games against us. Now, yes, he scored 42 points in the first matchup. But that same game, don't forget that Franz Wagner was 3-for-16. He started out 0-for-10 in his first two games against the Cavaliers from beyond the arc. And over the course of the season, he shot just 3-for-19 from outside the arc. Paolo's three games after that career high, he was just 19 of 50, including the 12-point outing that we saw when we last faced them. Now, Jalen Suggs has taken big strides as the season has come along on the offensive side of the ball. His last 3 months, his true shooting percentage has climbed over 60%. To this month, 66%. If that held over the course of a season, that would put him second on this Cavaliers roster. Jared Allen is at 66.4, just for perspective, to go along with the elite point of attack defense that that team shows. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for their bench. I do think there's a lot of parallels with the size with the Knicks, but they don't have the rebounding that the Knicks have. And I think it's possible that Orlando could suffer a similar fate to what the Cavs did last season when they entered the postseason riding high on an elite defense, and that may sustain, but unreliable three-point shooting often makes it very difficult to overcome the added physicality that they allow in the playoffs. You can't rely on getting to the line in the same way that you might during the regular season. And for a team that was dead last in the NBA in three-pointers made per game, Orlando is going to have to find some easy baskets because the Cavaliers' defense is legitimate. So that's what gives me hope. Now, what gives me pause, it's all just trauma from last year. It's toughness, it's physicality. Let's not forget the last time we played these guys, Isaac and Mo Wagner combined for 7 offensive rebounds off the bench. And they had 3 guys in double digits off the bench. So that has to be something that we limit. I like that Tristan is in the fold. I like that we have Marcus Morris, if it comes to that. If we need to be a little bit more physical, but they need to limit the contributions of a Cole Anthony, of a Joe Ingles, of a Mo Wagner. Their bench cannot outclass our bench. And certainly, Karis is coming in hot. I thought Karis was pretty good against the Knicks last year. One of the high points for the Cavaliers as far as what we saw in that playoff matchup. But between what he's giving us and the signs of Donovan, I do think we'll have enough. But playoff basketball is a different beast altogether. So I guess we'll see. But we're going to get into more over the course of the week. Thank you to everybody who's joined me for this episode of the Fear the Fro podcast. Thank you for your understanding while I ran away from my sorrows into the wilderness. But we'll be doing it a lot more frequently now because this is playoff basketball. This is what everybody said was the only thing that mattered. So let's see what we really are, shall we?
Okay, that's enough.
Stop it!
This has been another Fear the Fro.
It's over.
Podcast.
That was pathetic.
If you enjoyed what you heard today,
put it on the highlight reel.
Please consider subscribing. Check out FroPod.com for more Cavaliers and NBA coverage.
That's what's on display here.